Hey everybody, this is Minister Regina, and you are joining us for our DT Live midweek service. I'm so excited to be with you all on tonight. As people get ready to come in, let me make sure my microphone is hooked up. We thank and praise God for his goodness and his mercy on tonight. He has truly been moving in the land, and we are excited to see all that he has been doing on the behalf of his people. Good evening, Sister Chris. Good evening, Sister Beth. Hello, Dr. Elisa. God bless you all tonight. Grab your Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Hello, Denise. Guys, bless you, bless you. Good evening, Sharon. God bless you. These are some names that I'm not putting faces with some of these names. So that means the group is growing. Amen. God bless you. And thank God for you being here on tonight. I'm going to be sharing out of Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. Actually, we're going to be revisiting a Bible study that we taught in 2019. Hello, good evening, Sister Rita. On the whole armor of God, we're going to revisit that. We taught that in our Wednesday night Bible study on Wednesday nights back in the fall, and we're going to revisit some of those lessons over the next couple of weeks as we are here virtually meeting on Wednesday evenings. Okay, so we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. Now, let me say that the series is on the whole armor of God, but like I explained when I taught it in class, there has to be a foundation laid. I'm just a foundational person. I believe that without the proper foundation, that whatever you're trying to build is very vulnerable to collapse. So I do spend a lot of time building foundation when I teach any series, even my messages. I don't know any other way to do it. So although the whole armor is discussed in Ephesians chapter 6, we are starting at Ephesians chapter 1 tonight, because there's some things in chapter 1 that I feel are foundational for us to get and understand before we even get to the armor. Okay, so it's not going to take me very long to do what I'm going to do on tonight, but we are going to pray. I did see on the prayer wall some prayer requests that I've made note of, but if you have a specific request tonight, please feel free to put it in the chat, and at the end, after we've covered the lesson, I will go back and we will pray over your request. Amen. Praise God. So, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And before I go on, I want you to make note. I want you to hear some of the things that are said here in Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to make a mental note of anything that kind of jumps out at you or kind of grabs at your heart, okay? And there's a reason why I'm asking you to do that, okay? So Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the blood. I think that's good news. Amen, sister. I got you. Okay. I got those prayer requests. Thank you. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That's a promise, y'all. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purposed possession unto the praise of his glory. So you saved, and then you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Here we go. Verse 18. Hello, Sister Amanda. God bless you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. His name, he is above all of it, okay? Let that get deep down in your spirit, that the Lord you serve is above all of it. Whatever name, whatever has a name, he is above it. Hallelujah. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That is Ephesians chapter 1. So here in Ephesians, this is the Apostle Paul, right? You Bible scholars, help me out tonight. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing this. He's writing the Ephesians and the whole book of Ephesians. And in chapter 1, he is doing a couple of things, okay? Number one, he reminds the readers of what God has done for them through Christ, okay? That's one of the things he does here in Ephesians chapter 1. And the second thing he does in chapter 1 is he stakes his intention and purpose for writing to the church. So it's clear. He's reminding us of some things, and he's giving us the purpose for which he's writing. So what does Paul say in Ephesians chapter 1 that God has done for us, those of us who are in Christ? And that's where I want those thoughts that were maybe some of those things that as we were reading together, they jumped out at you. And if you have anything that you want to add to the discussion, please make sure that you put it in the chat. Thank you so much, Sister Rita. We have that prayer request. Amen. Oh, yes, sunburn is not fun. I've had that growing up. That is not fun. We would definitely be praying for them. So what does Paul say God has done for us through Christ in Ephesians chapter 1? Now, I'm going to read you my answers, but you go ahead and feel free. That's right. Put your answers in the chat as well. Number one, what has God done for us? He has given grace to us. He's given peace to us, right? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings. Not one, not two, not three, not a thousand. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Okay. What else has God done for us? He's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, forgiving us of our sin. Even before we were born, he extended forgiveness to us. What? Even before we were born, from the foundation of the world, he extended grace to us. He extended forgiveness to us. Amen. And he accepted us. He accepted us. This is so important for us, guys. Like I said, I do it on purpose because we have to have a foundation before we even get to the armor of God. We have to know who we are. Oh, Lord, we have to know who we are. Hallelujah. So So what else has God given to us through Christ? He's given us all wisdom and prudence. That's what Ephesians chapter 1 says. He's given us all wisdom and prudence. Hello, Julie. God bless you. And what else has he given? He has given us an inheritance. You know what an inheritance is, right? That's when someone, you know, they pass away and they leave a will, right? I give my house to my son. I give my land to my daughter. I give my business to my wife. It's an inheritance. And an inheritance can only be transferred at the time of death. Jesus dying allowed us, hallelujah, access to an inheritance in God. Glory to God. He has given us an inheritance. Praise God. And this one just takes me all the way out. For those of you who rock with me at all, you know how much of a fan of Holy Spirit I am. And this one right here, what has God done for us? He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. Glory to God. We're in Ephesians chapter 1 tonight, friends. Ephesians chapter 1. So those are just what those things that kind of jumped off at me when I asked the question, what has God done for us according to what Paul says to us in Ephesians chapter 1? Those are just the highlights to me. Okay, those are the things that come out to me. Like I said, you may have had other things. Amen. And that's great. That's absolutely great. So Paul starts off the letter reminding the church of all the things that we have in God through Christ Jesus. And I think that is important because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't know. And then there are other times when we just forget. We just flat out forget, right? And what causes us to forget? We're drilling heavy tonight. What are some things that causes us, some reasons why we forget all these wonderful, beautiful things that I listed for us? What are some things that may cause us to forget those things? Here, difficulty. Difficulty, right? Life's challenges. Come on, somebody. Discontentment. Oh, Lord. Disillusionment. Oh, that's a great one, Sister Beth. Distraction. Oh, Lord. That's a great one. Right? What are some things that happen to us that causes us to forget the things that God has given to us? Weariness, difficulty, life's challenges, things just keep coming at you. And because we are so focused on the circumstance, hallelujah, we tend to forget the God, hallelujah, that can deliver us out of any circumstance. And I'm not saying that it's easy. Oh, no, not by any means. But what I am saying is that it can cause us to lose momentum. It can definitely cause us to lose momentum when we're so focused on the junk that's in front of us instead of keeping our eyes on the Father. Does that make sense tonight? So what are some practical things we can do to practice recalling the promises of God? So if all these things are going to be hitting us, and they will, right? Life happens, right? The car, you know, you might blow a tire, you know, you're going to rip your pantyhose when you're trying to get dressed for church. You might come up a little short on the bill money this month. There are things that will happen that you weren't planning for, that you weren't expecting, that will cause you to lose focus sometimes. Okay, but what are some things practically that we can do to help us remember all of the things that God has said to us? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What are some things? Number one, my go-to is meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. It is so important what we give our attention to. Why do I say that? Because what you give your attention to grows. It magnifies. Oh, Lord, if you've given all your energy and your attention to negative things, that is what you're going to experience more of. It's a spiritual law, guys. It's not hocus pocus. It's just a spiritual law. The more you focus on a thing, the greater it becomes in your experience. And so as you meditate on the word, if you make the word of God bigger than anything, hallelujah, hallelujah. So some things that we can do to practice recalling the promises of God: meditate on the word. Meditate on the word, not on your word. Not on your prayer partner's word. Not on the word of the government. Not on the word of what your favorite news organization is saying. Meditate on the word of God. Hallelujah. And you will find yourself when you're in the midst of troubles, when you're in the midst of trials, when you're in the midst of things that are uncomfortable, things that are unpleasant, it will make it so much easier, hallelujah, to declare victory in the midst of it, because you have spent so much time allowing that word to become a part of you. And that's the next point. What are some things that we can do, hallelujah, to help us recall the promises of God? Jesus says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, hallelujah, you abide in him and his word abides in you. Glory to God. So as you're meditating on the word, that word is becoming a resident in your spirit. Hallelujah. It's taking a residency in your spirit. And so anything that tries to come to distract you, to give you disillusionment, hallelujah, to cause you discontentment, that word is going to bump up against that word just like that. All those challenges, all those things are going to bump up against that word because you spent so much time meditating on it. Hallelujah. What does the word say? It says, hallelujah, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. You can't renew yourself in something without spending time in it. I hope I'm making sense tonight. So, and another thing that I feel that we can do to practice recalling the promises of God is watching our circle, taking care about who we're hanging around. Because if I'm practicing faith, if I'm practicing, wanting to believe God for the impossible in my life, hanging out with someone who is not there is only going to distract you. It's only going to bring you down. That is just how it is. It's not that you have to completely, turn away from the people. It's none of that. It's not meaning that you have to shun them or even demean them or even, cast a disparaging light on them. None of that. Hallelujah. We would never, ever endorse that. But what I will say is that those who are closest to you help influence where you're going. Does that make sense? Hello, Mother Pat. God bless you tonight. Those who are closest around you, those who have influenced your life, will influence where you go. So if you want to cultivate a lifestyle of discipline in the word, discipline in the things of God, it is best for you, hallelujah, to put people around you who have the same mindset. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Hallelujah. We're in Ephesians chapter 1 tonight for those of you who are just coming in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're setting a foundation for our study on the whole armor of God. We are revisiting this series that we taught at Deliverance Temple in the fall of 2019. I felt that it was probably appropriate for the times that we are currently experiencing in the world to revisit this particular series. And so we're going to take out some of those lessons that we taught last fall while we are still here meeting virtually on Wednesday nights. Amen. So let's move on. What does the Apostle Paul say he wants to accomplish with this letter to the church? Remember, the reason why we're in Ephesians 1 is because we're laying a foundation, okay? Before we get off into the breastplate, into the helmet, into the sword, we need to know who we are. Amen. So what does Paul say he wants to accomplish with this letter? He says that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. His desire is that the church's eyes, their understanding is enlightened, illuminated. The word enlightened is the Greek word photizo, which means shed rays, to shine, to brighten up, to illuminate, and make to see. He wants us to see, hallelujah, the truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul is wanting to shed light. He wants to illuminate our understanding, and he wants to make us see what God is saying to his people. This is so critical that we see what God is saying to us. Hallelujah. Because we can't make it. We can't make it. We can't make it. We can't make it. We cannot make it unless we hear from the Father. Hallelujah. So what else is the Apostle Paul saying he wants to accomplish? He wants us to know the hope of our calling. He wants to know the hope of his calling. He wants us to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He has these things that he has lined out and outlined as important things for us to know here in Ephesians chapter 1. So we have been reminded of what God has done for us, and we know the purpose of the letter. Okay, so I wanted us, like I said, to lay that foundation really, really quickly before we move over to Ephesians 6. So in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So once we are reminded, once we have been given the purpose, we must be strong. Why? Why must we be strong? We just said it a few minutes ago. Because we get weary, we get discouraged. Sometimes we experience just all out blows, just blows, okay? Can I say that again? Blows, whether it's health, in the arena of health, relationships, finances, you know, just all kind of things can come against us that just blow us off our feet. Amen. So God is encouraging us. He is admonishing us through the Apostle Paul to be strong. Hallelujah. So if we're not strong, right, we will be back right back into a position trying to rebuild again. Hallelujah. So I want to make sure I point out where the strength is coming from. I want to make sure that I point out where the strength is coming from. Because he says, be strong, right? So a lot of us, our minds will go to, well, how do I do that? I am so glad you asked. How do we do that? Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Lately, I have grown so appreciative more and more and more of what Jesus tells his disciples in the Gospel of John when he says, it is the Father who dwells in me who does the work. It is the Father who dwells in me who does the work. Amen. Amen, Sister Chris. So how do we be strong? We are strong in him. It's not our own strength. And I think that should relieve a lot of people. I hope that relieves a lot of pressure off of people listening to this tonight, watching this tonight. You don't even have to muster up your own strength. It's his strength. I hope that frees you. It frees me to come into this understanding that it is Father God in me that does the work. Ew, I don't have to come up with it. I don't have to do it myself. I don't have to make something happen. That really encourages me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I don't have to force anything. Glory to God. What God is working in my life does not rely on my strength. What God is working on in your life, what he's trying to express through you, through your life, it does not rely on your strength or your ability. That is one of the powerful things and points of this verse. Be strong in his might. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we rely on his strength and his might to protect us when weariness or discouragement tries to take hold of us. How do we do that again? Because we've meditated in the word. We've meditated when he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We've meditated. Those who trust in me will never be put to shame. We've meditated on those things, and those things have become a part of us. And so when discouragement tries to come, when affliction tries to come, it gives us strength. Hallelujah. The word gives us strength. Amen. So how do we take a posture of being strong in the Lord? How do we take a posture of being strong in the Lord? verse 11 tells us, by putting on the whole armor of God. Again, it's not even our armor. It's his armor. It's his might. It's his power. Do you see a pattern here? Do you see a theme of emerging? It's not our power. It's not our might. It's not our armor. Glory to God. Glory to God. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. The believer is encouraged to put on the whole armor of God. Amen, amen, amen. And I am hammering this point because I believe this is very significant, friends, as we go forward here in the next few days, next few weeks, next few months. We must have a grip on this thing that it is not us. It's not our power. It's not our might. It's not even our armor. Amen. We have to have a grip on this, guys. We have to. I hope I'm making sense. I hope I'm making sense. So let's discuss what armor is. Okay. Let's discuss what armor is. Okay. And so armor as a noun, because there is a noun version and there is a verb version. Okay. We're going to talk about both of them. This is Bible study. Amen. Study. Glory to his name. So what is armor? Armor as a noun, right? And a noun, you know, is a person, place, or thing for you English scholars. Praise him. Armor is the metal coverings worn by soldiers or warriors to protect the body in battle. Let that sit on you. Armor is the metal protective covering, okay, worn by soldiers or warriors to protect the body in battle. Okay, so this could look like several things. It can be like a metal covering a military vehicle or ship to defend it from attack, right? It can be in what is called an armor plate, which provides protection. Okay, protective covering that provides protection. A protective covering that provides protection. Okay. It is worn to protect the body in battle. Praise him. Next, as a verb, armor means to provide someone with emotional, social, or other defenses, like you would armor the military with weapons. So God is armoring us. He is armoring us. He is providing the armor. Praise God. He is providing the defense. Okay? So the Apostle Paul encourages us to put on the whole armor of God, to use the protective resources the Father has given and provided us to use. Not only has he given them to us, he's provided for them. He's provided them. They are his. There's nothing. We don't have to come up with nothing. When you go to the military, you don't have to bring your own gun. You don't have to bring your own uniform. You don't have to bring your own boots. When you enlist in the military, they provide those things for you. Hallelujah. God does not require us to bring our own boots. He's not requiring us to bring our own weapons. As a matter of fact, our weapons won't do nothing in this fight. We're going to get to that a little later on down the line. But our own weapons won't do nothing in this fight that we're in. Hallelujah. So he resources us with his armor. Praise God. To those protective resources. Hallelujah. As the whole armor of God. So what is the purpose? What is the purpose? Verse 11 tells us that we may be able to stand against the wiles, W-I-L-E-S, of the devil. The purpose of putting on the whole armor of God is so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, that is only to say that it's to protect the body against the schemes and tricks of the devil. It's not. It's really a lot simpler than probably we've made it out to be traditionally. But we're gonna break all of this down because I don't want anybody to be confused about what we're talking about tonight. We're going to break all of these words down so we all be on the same page. The enemy has been the enemy for a long time. Hello, Sister Pam. God bless you. The enemy has been the enemy for a long time. Did you get that? And he has perfected his own armory. He's perfected his own armory, okay? He has crafted weapons of his own that he attempts to use against people regularly, okay? And verse 11 refers to those things as wiles, W-I-L-E-S. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. So what are wiles? What are wiles? Wiles are devious or cunning stratagems employed in manipulating or persuading someone to do what one wants. A wile is a devious or cunning stratagem employed in manipulating or persuading someone to do what one wants, right? And another definition for wile as a verb is to lure and entice. To lure and entice. So the enemy has devious and cunning strategies, right? He uses to manipulate and persuade people to do what he wants done. That's what the wile of the devil is. He's trying to entice people. He's trying to lure people into actions and into behaviors that really at the end of the day is bringing about what he wants done. It's bringing about his agenda. It's bringing about his will. Is that plain? Is that plain? He is masterful. He is masterful in luring, enticing, seducing people away from the plans, purposes of God with the objective of accomplishing his own will and his own agenda. He's masterful at it. He's masterful at it. I hope I'm making sense tonight. So just know that those temptations, those whispers, right, that are coming from the enemy, right? They're coming from the enemy's cap. It's not so that you can be happy or experience life. There is a saying that's going around at this point, at this time. I've seen it on social media from time to time, and it says YOLO, YOLO, and apparently it means you only live once, right? This whole attitude of I'm gonna do what I want to do because I only live once. I'm gonna enjoy myself. I'm gonna enjoy my life. I'm gonna be me, right? And so the enemy comes, right? And he's whispering all this stuff, you know, do it, do it, do it. Not because he cares about you at all. Not because he cares that you are, you know, living some limited life or, you know, you're unhappy. He don't care nothing about none of that. His sole purpose in trying to lure you away, seduce you away, entice you away from the plans and purposes of God is so that your actions, oh God, your actions will actually result in his objective being accomplished. I hope this is plain. I hope this is plain. We can ask Adam and Eve about it. We can ask Adam and Eve about it. You know the story, right? They're living in paradise, right? No sin, no sickness, no depression, no poverty, no lack. Come on, somebody. No mental illness, nothing. It's just perfect. And here comes the enemy. Here comes the enemy, right? You know the story. God told them, of all the trees in the garden, you can eat except for this one. Don't eat this one. But if you do, because if you do, in that day, you're going to surely die. Okay? We paraphrasing tonight. Amen. Amen. Y'all know the story. But here comes the enemy trying to seduce and lure them away from the purpose of God. And what did he tell? What did he tell Eve? What did he tell us? What did he tell the girl? He told her. The reason he told you that is because he knows if you eat it, you're going to become like him. And that resonated somewhere on the inside of Eve. Yeah, we drilling hard. We're drilling hard. We're going to make it, though. We're going to make it. I promise we're going to make it. It resonated with Eve because she didn't realize that she was already like God. See, sometimes we're making decisions and choices, oh Lord, because we don't know who we are. That's why I said we had to go back to Ephesians 1 to understand who we are. Before we could even talk about this, because if you don't know who you are trying to operate in this, you're just going to mess up. You're just going to mess up. It's going to be a mess. We have to know who we are. So what the enemy said to her spoke to her on some level because she didn't know who she was. She didn't know who she was. Come on now. So there was a weakness in her understanding. There was a weakness in her understanding that the enemy exploited and manipulated. There was a weakness in her understanding that the enemy used and manipulated, exploited. Come on. Come on. We're getting free tonight. This is the house of deliverance. We are getting free tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to walk in victory. Glory to God. We're going to know who we are. We're going to know whose we are. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And again, it's not because He cared one bit about her realizing her potential. No. He knew that the heart of it, that He cared to be with Him. Okay, we're going heavy tonight. He knew that if He could get her to agree with Him, that He would have her right where He wanted her. Guys, agreement is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. Oh my God, agreement is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. He knew that if He could get her to agree with Him, He would have her right where He wanted her. What did I say? The wile, the seduction, the lure, the enticement away from the plans and purposes of God so that His agenda could be established. He don't care nothing about your agenda. He don't care nothing about your happiness, your satisfaction. No, His whole point is to kill, steal, and destroy. But He's going to use whatever He can on the inside of you to exploit and manipulate so that you will offer your agreement. Oh, we're getting free tonight in the house of deliverance. We're getting free. We're getting free. This reminds me of something that the Holy Spirit shared with me once when I was preparing this message to preach. I don't remember which message it was. I'm not going to lie. I don't remember what message it was. But I remember this statement. In my spirit, it was like the point of living a consecrated life is not about hitting your chest and bragging about how good you are. Holy Spirit said, the point of living a consecrated life is so that we are free from anything that the enemy could try and use to manipulate us. Selah, wait a minute. Okay. We live consecrated lives, not so that we can showboat for our brothers and sisters, so that we can floss on Facebook, so that we can be on Instagram posing. No, we live consecrated lives, glory to His name, so that the enemy will not have anything that he can use to manipulate us. What I say, we're getting free in the house of deliverance on tonight. We're getting free. We're getting set free. Hallelujah. Because it's not if He will try. It's not if He's going to try. He definitely going. It's when He tries to allure you, to entice you. Oh, did He really say that? Did He really say that you can't eat that? I don't think that's what He really, are you sure that's what He said? No, that's not what He said. What was He doing? Trying to cause doubt. Have you ever been there? Have you been there? The Lord has told you something. He has promised you something. Even outside of the physical word, which should be enough, really. But maybe someone has prophesied over your life. Maybe someone has given you an encouraging word. And you know that it was from God. Hallelujah. But some of those distractions, some of that disillusionment, some of that discontentment started hitting your life. And you started to shake on it. Have you ever heard Him whisper to you, did He really say that He was going to heal you? Did He really say He was going to give you a promotion? Did He really say that? Are you sure that's what He said? If the enemy can get you to doubt God, he has won half the battle. That's why we meditate on the word. That's why, hallelujah, we abide in the word. Oh my God, that's why, friends, that's why. Why? Because when that lie comes, we will detect it like that. They tell me, that they train people like in banking and finance to how to detect counterfeit money by only dealing with the real. So that you've dealt and handled the real so long. Come on, somebody. I hope y'all hear me tonight. You've dealt with the real so long that when the counterfeit come, you detect it immediately. So we are immersing ourselves in the word. We are immersing ourselves in the presence of God. Why? Why? So that when the lie comes, when the deception tries to come, we detect it immediately. And we pull that sucker down in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because again, it's not if he will try. Because he's going to try. He's so deceived. He's going to keep trying. He's going to try. That's why we have to arm ourselves with the armor that the Father has given to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So when he comes, if we have something in our life, if we have something in our life that we're not free from, that's the first place he's going to start. I know. But if there's something in us that we're not free from yet, that's the first place he's going to start. That's why we're getting free tonight. Hallelujah. We're getting free tonight. Thank you, God. So Apostle Paul tells us, put on the whole armor of God so that we can, some versions say, withstand the wiles of the devil. What does withstand mean? Withstand means the ability to remain undamaged or unaffected. Did anybody just shout right there on that note? We put on the whole armor of God so that we have the ability to remain undamaged and unaffected. Y'all better shout with me tonight. Y'all, I can't hear y'all over there on your side of the camera. Amen. But right there, I think we all need a praise break. We put on the whole armor of God so that we can remain unaffected and undamaged. So it's not the promise that the enemy won't be, right, able to form the weapon against you. The promise is that the weapon won't prosper. Okay. He's going to try. Because like I said, he's so deceived and he wants to win. He's so deceived, he actually thinks he's going to win. So he's going to try it. The promise in Isaiah 54 was not that he wouldn't allow the enemy to form the weapon, but that the weapon wouldn't prosper. So we take on his armor so that we can remain unaffected and undamaged. I hope somebody, thank you, Jesus. We use the protective resources God has put at our disposal so that we can stand against, remain undamaged and unaffected by the wiles, the seduction, the enticement, the tricks, and manipulation of the devil. Is this clear? Is this clear tonight? I love the Lord. Thank you, Father. This next point, Paul, the Apostle Paul, explains that there is a distinction between people and the enemy. Because truthfully, in the heat of things, when you're in the heat of the moment, in the thick of it, it's real tempting, right, to look at the person that may be causing you offense, that may be causing you trauma, that may be causing you a harm. It's real easy to look at that person, that physicality of that person, and attribute them as the enemy. It's very easy to do that. And most people would find that reasonable, right? No one thinks that you're crazy because you think that, because that's our human nature. But the Apostle Paul is giving us a key here. He's letting us know it's not flesh and blood that is your enemy. It's really not flesh and blood that is your enemy. Okay. It's not sister so-and-so. It's not deacon so-and-so. Lord Jesus, that's not your enemy. The Apostle Paul was telling the church, don't be tricked. Don't be tricked. That person is not your enemy. Verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not who the war is with. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who the enemy is. That's who is causing the problem. Right? Because the only true power the enemy has now, after the cross, after the resurrection, what did Jesus tell him? What did he tell us? All power. Y'all, everything in me tingled when I said that. Our Lord said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. All of it. He stripped every bit of authority that the enemy stole or usurped from Adam in the garden when they agreed with him. See, I told y'all, agreement is a powerful, powerful entity. When you agree with evil, you are giving evil access to your authority. Yeah, we just all gonna see lie right there. When you agree with good, when you agree with justice, you lend, hallelujah, your authority to goodness and to justice. Agreement is powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. So because the only true enemy he has now, because Jesus stripped him of all of that, any of that that he usurped, the only real power he has right now is the power of suggestion. The power of suggestion. And he is masterful. He's masterful. Because then he uses that to get you to lend, to give him your authority and your power. We're getting free in the house of deliverance tonight. Yep. Whenever that person cuts you off in traffic and you just feel like rolling down your window and saying a whole bunch of words that the King James ain't said, you have just lent your power, your authority. I know. I'm a fan myself. Okay, I'm a fan myself. Is that all right? I'm a fan myself. Cause it's getting hot in here in my house. See, cause I gotta eat the scroll before. Yeah, the prophet gotta eat the scroll first. The teacher gotta eat it first. So don't think that I have arrived. Don't think that I think I have. Okay. All right. So this power of suggestion that he uses so masterful. But once we come into an understanding that, no, I'm not going to agree with that. I'm not going to go along with that. No, because I understand now that if I agree with that, then I am empowering that. When you agree with something, you are empowering it. Does that make sense? And we've talked about this before in our Wednesday night Bible study. Some of you who are on here, you've heard me say how the enemy starts working on our minds, whispering stuff, right? Like just like he did to Eve. Are you sure that's what he said? Trying to get her to second guess what God said. He starts working on people's minds, whispering lies, half-truths, right? Whatever it takes, right, to get the person in agreement. Whatever, he gonna tell you whatever you want to hear. Yeah. I don't like her. You shouldn't like her because look at her. Who taught her how to dress anyway? And who she thinks she is? And I just don't like. You have just allowed yourself to come in agreement with a force that really wants to harm both of you. You and the sister. I hope this is making sense. So, lies, half-truths, whatever it takes to get the person in agreement. And once the person is in agreement, they are allowing their voices and their actions to give voice and action actually to what he wants done. Yeah. He will use the power of suggestion through lies, through half-truths, and whatever it takes, right? Because what he said to Eve was, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. It was a half-truth. God told her, for in the day that you eat it, you should surely die. A lot of people would have gone to dying right there on the spot, right? But God, his ways are so far higher than ours. He thinks in dimensions so far, much farther along than we do. But in that moment that she ate it, she did. She began to die. Ugh. So he tells us half-truths. Half-truths. Things that sound good to us. That's why I said we got to guard our heart. We got to guard those things. We got to be set free of anything that he might use to try to manipulate us. Oh my gosh. We got to be free from it, guys. We got to get set free. So, I believe that if we as believers can get solid in our hearts, solid in our hearts, solid in our minds, these things that we're talking about tonight, we're going to see such a tremendous change in our lives. I believe that with all my soul. First, we understand that it is not people we're fighting. It's not people we're fighting. Let me say this. The Lord revealed this to me a few years back. Actually, it was the summer of 2016, 2017, that the same enemy that would incite, you know, hatred on some level, right? The same devil. Now, he's the one who whispered to the person, look at her. Don't you just hate her? You should hit her. You should do something to her, right? That same devil. Once that person does something to that sister or does something to that brother, will then whisper in that person's ear, I hope y'all following me tonight. You should get back. You should retaliate. Are you hearing me tonight? The same. That's why I believe with all my heart. That's why Apostle Paul said it is not flesh and blood. Because the enemy plays both sides. Why is he playing both sides? Because really all he's after is his own agenda. He don't give a rip about you feeling hurt and discriminated against. He don't give a rip that you think that you're superior. All he wants is to cause as much chaos and trouble as he can so that his agenda is pushed forward. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying on tonight. The same devil that would incite this. But then whisper over here, you should get back. You should retaliate. You should do some harm to them. You should shoot them. You should playing both sides. So if we can understand that it's not people that we're fighting, right? We will spend less time arguing and debating and threatening and fighting with people. We'll spend a lot less time doing those things. Why? Because we know first that we lean less to our own understanding and we'll ask God, show me what's behind this. Reveal it to me, God. Pull the cover back off of it, God, so that I can see clearly with your vision. I don't want to see it through my eyes. I prayed that today. I prayed it today, this afternoon, I was praying. I said, God, I don't want to see it the way Regina sees it, right? Because we all can have a lean. We can all have a lean depending on our own experiences. We can have a lean. God, I don't want to lean to my own understanding. God, I want to see this thing how you see it, God. Show me with your eyes. Show me with your vision. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we understand that it's not people that we're fighting against. Second, we are asking God to show us. Hallelujah. And third, when we finally truly understand who the true enemy is, we will use our energy. Right? We will use our energy then, utilizing the spiritual armor and weaponry God has given us to stand and to withstand against those wiles. Praise God. Praise God. Because a lot of it is trying to get us off our, Sister Nina says, get us off our square. Right? Get you off track. Get you off kilter. Amen. Amen. Praise God. How can we do this? with discernment. With discernment. God show me. God give me the spirit of discernment. God give me spiritual insight, spiritual vision. Give me spiritual vision so that I can see this thing the way you see it. Amen. Does that make sense? So I want you to write this down because we don't have time to go here tonight. But 2 Kings 6 verses 8 through 17. 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 8 through 17. I want you to read that story before you come back here on next week. It's all about spiritual vision and discernment. Okay, seeing things how God sees them. Seeing things how God really says they are. Okay, 2 Kings 6, 8 through 17. Read that when we come back on next week. But I'm going to reread this verse tonight, and we're going to close with our prayer time. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. I know, Mother Pat, help me too. Help me, Lord. Yes, yes, that's my prayer too. Help me. I hope and pray that you guys saw something in this lesson on tonight that not only encouraged you, and not just inspired you, but challenged you. I want us to be challenged. That's how we grow. We grow by being challenged. We grow by, you know, God saying, okay, I'm gonna put the spotlight right here, right here. That's how we grow. Amen. And we are in the house of deliverance. And he is removing some stuff out of our lives. Thank God. He is illuminating us to some things. Hallelujah. He's giving us revelation about some things. What is the purpose? So that we can walk in victory. So that we can walk in freedom. And then we can walk in his love and in his grace. Hallelujah. Free from anything that the enemy could try to use to manipulate us. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we're going to pray tonight. We're going to pray, and we thank and praise God for all of you who have been here tonight live, anyone who might see the replay, anyone who might be listening to the audio on the website. God bless you. We thank God that he has been in our midst. We thank and praise him for all the comments, all of the remarks that has been taking place here live. We thank God for all the prayer requests on tonight. We're just going to pray as we close. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, oh God, for who you are. God, I just want to take a moment, God, just a moment to sit in that moment, to sit in that reality, God, to sit, hallelujah, in the understanding that we serve the Almighty God, creator of the universe. Hallelujah. God, what more could we want? What more could we need? We call the creator of everything Father. What more, hallelujah, could we possibly need in our lives? But God, we thank you so much that because you are our Father, because God, you care for us, hallelujah, because you love us with an everlasting love, Father, we can come to you with boldness. Glory to God. We can come before your throne with boldness. Hallelujah. Making our petitions known unto you. Father God, I raise up to you every person watching live tonight, every person who might watch this later. God, every person that might listen to the voice audio, hallelujah, recording on the website. God, I lift up every single one of them to you on tonight, God. Thanking you for their lives, God. Thanking you, Father, that they matter to you. Thanking you, God, that their purpose in you is significant. Hallelujah, God, that no detail, glory to God, about their lives has escaped you. Glory to your name tonight, Lord Jesus. I thank you, oh God, that you called them from the foundation of the world. God, you knew them, hallelujah, before they were even in their mother's womb. God, you knew them and you loved them. God, you called them accepted. You called them beloved before they even hit the earth. God, I thank you so much for your loving kindness toward us. I thank you so much, hallelujah, for your love toward us. I thank you so much, God, for your radical, oh my God, your radical care, your radical love toward us, oh God. Who is man that you are mindful of him? God, but you visit us. Oh my God, you continually visit. Hallelujah. You continually woo us, God. You continually call after us, oh God. And tonight, God, we are answering. God, tonight we are not turning a deaf ear to your call, God. We are answering. God, and we're saying, here I am. God, here I am. God, you said in your word that we could have eternal life, and that eternal life, hallelujah, according to what Jesus told us in John chapter 17, is knowing the one true God and knowing his son. God, we thank you for eternal life tonight. God, that we can know you, Lord God, and that we can know your son, know you intimately, God, know you, God, hallelujah, as father, know you as a provider, know you as a physician, know you, oh God, as one who takes care. Know you, God, hallelujah, as a shepherd, God. We thank you on tonight. We thank you on tonight. Absolutely not do we think we deserve it. Absolutely not do we think we're entitled to something. But God, you have set your love on us. Hallelujah. Because you've set your love on us, hallelujah, we come boldly tonight. Hallelujah, lifting up all the prayer requests, hallelujah, that have been stated. God, the unspoken requests from Sister Elisa, the unspoken requests, hallelujah, stated from Sister Beth. God, the request, hallelujah, for Sister Chris and her about her cousin, God. Hallelujah, the grandchildren that have experienced the sunburn, oh God. God, we thank you, glory to God, for all of the prayer requests that have gone forth on tonight. Even those that were listed on the prayer wall on the other post, oh God. Sister Brenda, glory to God, and her niece and her that heart surgery, God. Sister Brenda in her own physical body, God, asking questions, God, asking you, hallelujah, to open up the wisdom, hallelujah, and the understanding to the doctors, oh God, on what's causing this eruption in her body, God. We thank you, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Sister Nina asked for prayer for the RLS staff, God. We pray, hallelujah, for her staff, God. We thank you, God, for keeping them encouraged, God. Their line of work, I'm sure, is emotionally draining, oh God. And in the time of crises, hallelujah, even more so, I'm sure. So, God, I pray a spirit of peace and comfort, God, on that staff, God. God, that you would strengthen them, oh God, in their hearts, God, that you would strengthen them and encourage them in their own souls, hallelujah, as then they try to turn around and encourage someone else. God, encourage them in their own soul, hallelujah, encourage them in their own spirit in the name of Jesus as they try to minister and help and assist, hallelujah, those clients, God, of ROS. God, I pray for Nina, hallelujah, I pray for Mark, God, as you have called them to this, hallelujah, to this work, God, that you would encourage their hearts, oh God, that you would make provision, God, for whatever they have need of, God, in Jesus' name, God, to make payroll, God, for expansion, God, for the classes, other equipment, God, make whatever, hallelujah, the expansion that's on your heart that you want to express through ROS, God, God, that you would crown them with wisdom and understanding and insight on how to get it done. God, I pray for our bishop on tonight. I thank you, God, hallelujah, for strengthening him in Jesus' name. God, we say it all the time and we will continue to, hallelujah, that you bless him like you blessed Moses, God, hallelujah, that his eyesight not be dim, hallelujah, that his natural force not be abated, oh God, hallelujah, God, he calls out to you, he's praying, oh God, listening for your word, God, listening for your command, listening, hallelujah, for your insight. God, I pray you speak to him, hallelujah, as never before, God, bring him up higher in you, oh God, take him deeper in you, oh Jesus, do it for my bishop in the name of Jesus, God, as he leads, hallelujah, as you lead him, God, that hallelujah, and he then turn leads us, oh God, that we might follow, hallelujah, what it is that you've placed on his heart for deliverance. in the name of Jesus. Thank you for every leader in the house of God. Every the administrator, oh God, hallelujah, the CFO, God, the board, God, the deacons, glory to God. We thank you for wisdom beyond our years and wisdom beyond our experience. Hallelujah, that we have the wisdom of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, that we not lean to our own understanding. Hallelujah, but in all our ways, we'll acknowledge you, God, so that you can then direct our paths. God, we thank you, oh God, for the youth leaders. God, I thank you for the youth leaders. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for the music ministry. Hallelujah. Thank you for every deacon, every mother, oh God, every usher. Hallelujah. The security team, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The building and maintenance team. God, I thank you. Hallelujah. For bringing people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Glory to God. And I thank you for the understanding, oh God, that the house won't be blessed. Hallelujah. More than the individual homes will be blessed. God, so I thank you for businesses, oh God. I thank you for promotions, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you for, hallelujah, opportunities, oh God, for advancement, God. Debt cancellation, God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For physical miracles, God. God, that you would raise up, hallelujah, those who might be sick. God, those who might be having health challenges, oh God, I thank you for touching them in the name that is above every name on tonight. We thank you, God, for this house of deliverance. Hallelujah. Where we can come, God. Where we can come, God. Where we can come, God, and lay at your feet, lay in your presence, knowing that because you love us with an everlasting love, knowing, God, that nobody can pluck us from your hand, knowing, God, with all confidence, hallelujah, that you won't turn us away, knowing, God, that we can find our deliverance in you, that we can experience joy, that we can experience peace, that we can experience joy in the name that is above every name. We thank you for all of it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for Sister Elizabeth tonight. I thank you, God, for her life. I thank you, Father, hallelujah, for what you're doing in her life. God, I thank you, God, for the plans that you have for this woman of God. Hallelujah. God, we shut off all voices that are not your voice. In the name of Jesus, anyone that would try to influence, God, but they're not speaking from you, God, we turn our ears off to it. God, she won't even hear it. She's not even going to hear it. Elizabeth, you won't even hear them. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for ordering her steps. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, that your word is a light unto her path, oh God. Hallelujah. She may not know what the next step is, but help her to understand that as she takes this step in faith, that you show her that you will illuminate then the next step, and then you will illuminate the next step. God, I pray in Jesus' name, hallelujah, glory to God, for such a confidence to come upon my sister. Glory to God that she is hearing from you in Jesus' name. God, do it for her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. All right. All right, we lost some of our people. Woo! But we didn't lose the Lord. Amen. We thank and praise God. Hello, Pastor Smith. God bless you all the way there in Virginia. We're closing tonight our DT Live service. We thank God for all of you who are here tonight. If you came in late, go on back and listen to the replay. I'm sure you're going to be blessed by the teaching. We're talking over the next couple of weeks while we are here virtually meeting over the armor of God. Praise God. And I believe this first night has been a great foundation for us. Amen. So I'm going to jump off of here because I am real, real past time. And y'all not going to tell Bishop on me. Amen. So we thank and praise God for each and every one of you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Amen. Good night, everybody.